All right, I guess I was wrong. This episode isn't over and there's more to share. So we decided to come back and share more because one of the things that we failed to share was Sharon, how dare you? She didn't share all of her new methods and ways of, you know, you come onto these new ideas of spirituality, you go through some dark nights of the soul, and then you come up with ways to, I guess you could say like cope, you know, it's kind of like ways of that. And then also ways to do shadow work and to do the spiritual work. So what are some of these ways that you've been using, Sharon?
Well, for one, I've come across meditation, and it's something that I started doing, I want to say, several weeks ago. I was already doing some yoga, and at the end of yoga, I was doing Shavasana, which is the alleged most difficult pose, because you have to quiet your mind, basically. That's why it's allegedly the hardest pose. So you lay down like a corpse. That's why it's called, another name for it is called the corpse pose. And you lie down and you clear your thoughts. And this is where in my previous yoga instructor, because I used to work, they had a yoga teacher come in twice a week. And I really liked her. She was awesome. But she would give us a little taste of meditation during Shavasana. And sometimes we would request like a longer Shavasana just because it was so nice to just, you know, lie there and do a little bit of meditation. So, but I'd never really looked into it much more than that until recently when I just started hearing people talking more about it. You were talking about it. Some of my other friends were mentioning it. And I thought I should look more into this and maybe start attempting to do some of it at least. So I did. And I started looking at videos on YouTube and came up with some ideas for how to do meditation. And Brandon has disappeared. I'm just kidding. And I picked some music too. I found some pretty music along the way that I was able to incorporate into my my daily, pretty much daily meditation sessions. I sometimes go bike riding before. Sometimes I go, actually, no, I usually do go bike riding, either taking a walk or going bike riding before. And then when I get home, I do the meditation. But I don't, you know, so I'm pretty new to it. But maybe here's a good time to talk about my levitation dream that I had.
Oh yeah.
Right? Because it happened right after meditation. So this was like last week. I came back from my bike ride and I went to do my meditation, and I was lying there and I heard the song that I play has like a little, almost like a little bell, like probably a singing bowl, right? And then they ding it at the end, you know. So I heard that last bell ring, and that's my indicator that the song is over and my meditation's over. So I kind of like realized, oh, okay, my meditation's over. But what I didn't realize is that I lied there for a little bit longer because I was feeling particularly tired from a late night at my friend's house, the one who lost her son. And I lied there a little bit longer, or I always have a problem with lie and lay. Oh my gosh. Laying and lying and laying down and lying down, all that stuff. That's the hardest grammar thing for me.
Are you laying with lions?
Yeah.
I'm lying with lions.
Look it up at what it means.
That's so, right.
Which one to use when. But so as I lay there, I think that's the correct grammatical usage.
Grammar Nazis are going nuts right now. They're like, you, how dare you?
Well, I'm one of them, and that's the funny.
Yeah, part. And that's the thing. Nazis eat themselves. See, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just grammar Nazis, guys. Grammar Nazis. We're just kidding. Yeah.
So I was deciding to stay there a little bit longer. So I ended up closing my eyes and falling back into like this REM type of sleep, right? So then I started having a dream. And in my dream, I had just finished meditation. But I realized later that it was a dream, because otherwise I would have been like, did I really just do that? Or was it a dream? But the only reason I knew was because I was facing the other direction. Because when I meditate, I'm usually facing the north side of my house. But in the dream, I was facing the south side of my house. And I was wearing a different color shirt. So that's how I knew I wasn't a dream. So in the dream, I'm lying there, palms facing up, like lying on my back, palms facing up. And I had just finished the meditation in the dream. And I was staying there just like I had just done, right? And I remembered that in the dream, I'd remembered that in my meditation in the dream, I was thinking, or somehow the topic of like levitation was part of that somehow. And it made me think, oh, wow, that's interesting. And so I was thinking about that. And the more I thought about it, I sat there and I like positioned my hands in a certain way that my whole body started like buzzing, like this energy throughout my whole body was like, made my whole body like, bzz, like vibrate or something. And I just felt energetic. I just felt like I was complete energy, and I could, I don't know why, but like, I was like, is this, at first I thought it was a bee. Actually, I thought it was a bee. So I kind of like opened my eyes a little bit, like squinted them and I was like, do I see a bee anywhere? And then I was like, no, my whole entire body is like buzzing. Like, that's not a bee. So then I moved my hands, cause my hands are positioned like this on lying on the floor. And then I started kind of like tilting them and like moving them. And when I did that, I felt myself like lift off the mat. I completely like, so there I am, like, you know, I'm flat and I just lifted off the mat and I'm like, holy smokes, I'm freaking levitating. What the heck? This is crazy. And it felt real. It felt so real. And there I am levitating and I'm like, wait, oh dude, this is kind of scary. I don't know what I'm doing. So I like moved my hands again a certain way and I was able to like land. And when I land, but very gently, like I landed, you know, my calves landed and then my back landed. And then I was back on the ground and I was like, dude, this stuff is crazy. So I just kept kind of moving my hands to like get that feeling again. And every time I did, I would feel my body start buzzing again. Like getting ready, like almost like an ignition, like I had turned on the ignition to the energy in my body to get it to flow so that I could just start levitating. It was crazy. And it felt so real. By the time my dream ended, because I guess I woke up from that in the dream. And then I thought about it and I was like, that's crazy. But then I woke up again because of course it was like a dream. It was almost like a dream within a dream. So then I woke up in real life and I was like, what the heck was that? And I had to think like, well, I'm wearing a different colored shirt. The shirt in the dream was like a dark teal. And then the shirt I was wearing in real life was like a purple, like heather type of color. And so I was like, oh, and I'm facing the other way too. So that's when I realized it was a dream, but it was just, it was amazing. That's all I can say. It was just really amazing. So, and I'd never experienced something like that before.
Yeah. That sounds pretty amazing. I've had dreams like that, lucid dreams where I've, I was able to control it. So I was able to do crazy things, but I've also had dreams where I've just done things like that. And it is an amazing feeling. And when you wake up, you can bring it with you, that feeling. So that's great. And I just wanted to comment on that. I think it's interesting that you usually face north and in the dream you're facing south and you had a different color shirt. So it's either like, it's kind of like a message to, it could be a message to the, that everything's kind of inverted in the dream world. You know, it's all backwards, you know, that's your message, you know, or also maybe it's telling you should look to the self, look to Helheim or whatever it is, you know,
self-work, self-reflection,
or to the south, but yeah, also, oh, yeah.
Okay. South.
Okay. Yeah. But to the self also, but yeah, self.
Self. Yeah.
Face south, maybe for some, you know, maybe it's trying to tell you there's something there. There's a lot of stuff in the Nordic mythology, Norse mythology, about like directions and like, you know, who's at different directions and who you can channel. But yeah, I love that. Oh, very interesting. Good share. The levitation thing is great because what it reminds me of, what it makes me think of, is like you could, it's your body's way of telling you could do anything as long as you set your mind to it, because you meditated on levitation, then you were able to do it.
Yeah, that was super, super cool.
So when are you going to start levitating IRL in real life?
I can't wait.
Just start like lifting up.
I know. People would think I was nutso.
So what are some of the, so since you've been meditating, how has it helped you think in your life, or what are some of the benefits you noticed other than really cool dreams?
That's a really good question, because I don't know how to answer that, to be honest. I like it, but I enjoy it. And when I do, like, I always, like when I come out of it, I'm just like, oh, that was freaking awesome. Whenever I get to get the whole experience, right? Because sometimes I go and like I spend way too much time trying to clear my thoughts that I like never ended up meditating, or I meditated for 5 minutes or less. You know, I like to get to the point where I'm like doing about 20 or 30 minutes, but the approximate 30 minutes that I allot myself, I spend way too much time getting there rather than, you know, getting myself to like relax and calm the thoughts and get to the point where I'm just in the actual like meat of the meditation. But when I do, it's just, it's always an amazing feeling when I'm done. It's just very revitalizing and refreshing. But at the moment, I can't say there's other stuff, but there is this concept that you started talking to me about, which I think you said it's a Taoist concept, which is that everything is perfect. And ever since you told me that and you explained it to me, it gave me a barometer or a meter or some way of like looking at things in life and looking at my reactions and everything. Because, and I think I said this in a previous episode, that it's like a victim mentality thing, like a victim consciousness or whatever, like I can't blame other people for how I'm feeling or where I'm at in my life or anything like that. And so when I can view everything as perfect, it's very freeing, and it's very, it's freeing, you know, and I can look at other people and just not have to like take their energy and their whatever it is that they're, you know, of course it still could happen, right? Where I might get annoyed because of something someone did, and it bothers me, it annoys me because they're trying to bring me into it, right? But for the most part, it helps me like put that perspective back in, where like I can't let them I can't let them do that to me, because then I'm dragging myself back into that, you know, victim consciousness mode. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's a practice, but I hear what you're saying. And like we always say with everything, the more you do it, even if it's a negative, like a quote unquote negative behavior, the more you do it, the more you get sick of it, it's better for you, because then that's what really makes you want to not do it. So, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So are there any other things that you wanted to talk about as far as work that you've been doing? Just the meditation?
The meditation and the always going back to everything is perfect.
Yeah.
Those two things, and mostly the everything is perfect is what's the grounding. And then I think the meditation has been a plus just for that, learning how to clear the mind and taking time for self, things like that. So,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think as time goes on, I'll learn more about how this meditation works and how it affects me.
Yeah, I think, in my own example, my own life, because I've been meditating for a while. I mean, I stopped for a few years too, but for maybe 5 years, I was doing pretty hardcore. It just allows me to connect to the present moment better. I realized it lets me now realize when I'm getting lost in a thought, like spiraling sometimes, literally, like about things, you know, it's like a downward despair spiral or whatever, you know, and I'm able to catch myself now, or even if it's just a thought, it doesn't have to be something that's like totally negative, but if, like, say I'm driving down the street and I'm just thinking about all this nonsense, it's like, why not just be in the present moment, look around, look at the trees, and just give my brain a break, really, you know.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. And
see, speaking of that, I also do like bike rides in the morning or walks, and like looking at nature and stuff in the mountains in the area and the clouds and the sun and things like that. So yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. But sorry I interrupted you.
No, you're good. I think it's yeah, that's really important. Connecting with nature is important. It is a form of meditation. And then when you're out there, I like to sit out and meditate a little bit while I'm out there, just sit in silence or even hike in silence, because you just, like we always say, there's no lie in nature. So you could just view the truth all around you and just take it in and be in a situation that's not quote unquote Babylon. And you have a really comfortable, you get some really fresh air. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, indeed.
And then as far as the world being, or the Taoist concept of everything being perfect, that's something that a lot of people misconstrue. Because it really does sound very offensive when you first hear it. It's like, what do you mean everything's perfect? What about all the terrible, bad things? Are you saying that you condone all this stuff? That you say it's okay? And that's not at all what this concept is about. The concept is more about, viewpoint. And I think we've talked about this a bunch on the show, here and there. We like hint at it. We didn't really maybe directly talk about it, or probably we have, I can't remember exactly. That's my gift is I, so I can just keep spewing this knowledge to everybody. I don't get sick of it. But I think that, really at the end of the day, it's about how you look at what happens. And if you can kind of see, you know, think about when you hear about, like, in the mainstream, they talk about the Big Bang Theory, right? Instead of that as the beginning of the universe, just think about, or, you know, the beginning of all creation, whatever, just think about that maybe as like a traumatic event that happened, like we talk about, right? Something happens and the whole world is affected by it. And then because of that, everyone's behaviors altered and they have this way of viewing the world from like a scared child, a lot of it, you know? So anyway, as it moves on, it keeps getting passed down. Eventually it's going to heal, because time, they say time heals all wounds. So eventually it'll even out. And that's really, I think, what that saying is all about. But right now we're just in the waves, we're experiencing it. So it's going to be ebbs and flows, up and down, and the ups are going to feel really good and the downs are going to feel really bad. And they talk about this a lot in Buddhism and a lot of these different Eastern religions in the Bhagavad Gita and stuff in Hinduism. And even the Hermetics, they talk about elevating to a different plane. And that's really what it's about. It's about, if you're stuck in those waves, it's to realize that you don't have to feel the high highs and the low lows. There's a way to view it where it's, you're just even, and you kind of just see things that happen as that's how it was meant to be. And that's what was supposed to happen. And your evidence is the past, and the past is true because it's actually what happened. So you can even look at just the past in your own life and say to yourself, this is what was supposed to happen because it did happen. And again, I think we talked about this a little bit before, where people, suffering begins when people, they reject reality and they want things to be the way that they want them to be. And when they're not, that's when they get upset. And we all do this. I do this all the time when I'm in traffic and I'm like, why won't this guy just go? And there's a reason why he won't go, and I'll never know it probably. Mm-hmm. And if I sit there and just yell about it, it's not going to make him go anymore or whatever. It's just going to cause more suffering for me. And I could just frame it in any way I want. I could look at it and I go, well, maybe this guy, maybe somebody beat his dad in front of him with a stop sign. Now he gets like nervous every time he gets to a stop sign, doesn't know what to do, so I could feel, I could have a little bit of humor and I could have a little bit of compassion for this person in front of me and just kind of be like, well, I guess I'm just going to get there when I get there. And if I'm late, people are gonna have to deal with it. Maybe next time I should leave a little earlier and use this as an experience to learn and grow. And again, that's really about looking at the world as perfect, because if you think that you should be somewhere quicker than you actually arrive and you want to blame everybody else, it's really no one's fault at the end of the day, but your own. I mean, there's things that can happen, but again, when things happen to you and when things happen to me now, and maybe this is part of the meditation, when things happen to me, and when I say you, I don't mean you, Sharon. I just mean, when things happen to somebody, they have two ways you can view it, right? It's like, you could just say, oh, why did this happen to me? Or you could be like, wow, why did this happen to me? What am I supposed to learn from this? And when you start to view the world that way, it really does change a lot of things. And there's this back program running in the back of people's brains all the time, where like you're trying to analyze every single situation and all that stuff. And if you could start to let that go, and really all that is, a lot of that has to do with control, because you're just trying to control everything in your environment. And when you realize you don't have a lot of that control and you could just let it go, all that energy that goes to these calculations or whatever, and all this thinking you're doing becomes yours again. And then you can harness it to create things or whatever you want, or just be at peace for a little while in your brain for like a second, So, yeah.
I see that whole concept that you were talking about as, also, I like to say everything happens for a reason.
Mm.
And that also, and I think I talked about this as well, but for example, like when my husband died, it was like, well, everything happens for a reason. So I can't let myself go into a place of despair, because there's a reason and I may not know what it is, right? But it's all for my good. Right. Even the Bible says that everything happens for the good, for your good. I always saw it that way. So when, for example, like you said, I'm in traffic. Yes, it's hard sometimes because I don't experience traffic very often. But when I do, it gets frustrating. I just live in this area where I don't really experience it that much. But when I do get somewhere where I'm traveling somewhere where I may experience it, or I do experience it, it is annoying. And I can get myself very annoyed when I'm in traffic. But yes.
Let's just take a second to ask ourselves, and I just want to put this out here, anyone who's listening to this, listen, if there's an accident on the other side of the highway, you don't got to look at it, right? Just Google accidents. You can look at them all day when you're home. There's nothing you want to see over there. And usually it's already done. There's nothing to see. And if you do see something, you're going to wish you didn't. So just put your head forward and drive. Anyways, That's a public service announcement from Over Sharon.
I would always
we call them rubberneckers.
Yes, I would always
like just drive
rubberneckers. I forgot what I called them. I haven't experienced it.
Listen, some people could drive. This is the thing. Some people are good at things and they could drive and they can kind of peek and assess the situation to see if you need it or whatever. But it's like, if you're just staring and looking, no, just drive. Okay. If you're not one of these people who could look and drive and you know this, then go. If you've almost killed yourself with texting and driving a few times, then don't do it. Just go. Just drive. Anyway, derailing the podcast, a little bit of humor. But it's a much needed public service announcement. You don't want to see it. Trust me. Anyway.
Yeah, you don't need, like, what is there to see? Like,
yeah.
I used to get so mad at them. Be like, there's nothing to see. Just keep going. But yeah, so, but the other way that.
Well, you know, we can use that though, really, again, to interrupt. It's like, so we think that our destination, our need to get somewhere outweighs that person's need to know what's going on over there. So we can also work on that. Even though we could be right, we are right on some level, they are also actually right too, because they have the right to do it and we're behind them, but they should, you know, so this is stuff we could work on. So I'm not saying in the overall sense, yeah, these people are, you know, they should still keep driving. I'll just be nice.
Yeah,
But what I mean is, like, also you can work on it though, you know, like, just because we're spiraling about this doesn't mean we're right. Don't take our bad example. We could say to ourselves, hey, maybe this person recognizes the car and they think it's somebody they know and they want to make sure. They're like, oh my God, is that my daughter? You know what I mean? We could say that and then we don't have to feel like such a victim.
Yeah. Or you could say,
of these idiots.
Yeah. Or you could say, well, for whatever reason, I'm meant to get to that place at a certain time because I'm either meant to avoid another accident or I'm meant to, for whatever reason, the timing is just going to end up being perfect. So, and it's going to be for my good.
So you
could look at it in multiple ways.
There's something I wanted to bring up too, where this could be, and if you wanted to keep going on the other point, let me know, we can bring it up after, but it's about the negative, employment of this kind of idea of everything's perfect, because the Tao, like Taoism, is also religion. So any religion, I feel, has some bit of like gravel or way to control people. So there is a way, I think, to use this idea to control a mass of people by saying, oh, don't worry, everything's perfect. It doesn't matter that we're, you know, screwing you over and everything's terrible. So I think it could be employed in a negative way also. And I don't want people to be like thinking that we're missing that point too, because I totally get that. And that's where I feel religion, a lot of it is just a way to control people, using spirituality, using this true thing, and then you're just surrounded by all these lies. So that it could still happen in Taoism too. Like I said, you know, you could just get a whole population and convince them that everything's perfect as you, you know, overtax them and just are terrible to them. And you convince them that that's the only way, or it's perfect or whatever. So I think it could be used negatively. But what we're talking about is just when you're in situations where you really have no control, you just let that go. You give it to God, if you will. It's like when you don't have control of the situation because there's three lanes and there just happens to be three people in front of you all doing 60 in three different lanes when they could just get in one and do 60 and it'd be great. And then you could go, but no. But anyway, you got to say to yourself, I have no control in the situation. Just let it go, you know. Jesus, take the wheel.
Higher self, take the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How dare you?
So.
Yeah. So you were saying something about this. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to say before we were talking about some more of these topics, but anything else about the everything is perfect?
I think that was it.
Everything is awesome.
Dude, you know what's funny is I'm telling you.
No, I know. No, I meant I'm funny. You said, you know what's funny? I go, yeah, me. I'm funny.
Oh,
okay. Anyway, next subject. No,
well,
I'm just kidding.
You are, because I went back to an old episode of ours because I was looking at something for whatever reason. And I landed on the place where, and I think it was, I can't remember which episode it was. It was either like the first ever one I was on your show or the number zero episode. I can't remember. But like you said something, and as we transitioned, because I said everything is perfect, and you said everything is awesome. But I didn't know. I never noticed it until like I looked at it.
Oh, and you had to go back and listen.
Yeah, because when
And then you
I
notice.
never had noticed it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
See,
that's.
everything's awesome.
The Lego song.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. And that's the hidden truth, if you will, among any lies that might be in that movie. That's kind of how. I don't want to say it's like this big conspiracy and Hollywood trying to lie and trick us all. But what I mean is, like, if you want a movie or religion or something to work and you want a bunch of people to support it and get behind it, and it could be a negative or a positive thing, like religion or whatever, that's the way it's done. There's all these truths that people resonate with and they vibrate on this same level. And they're like, yes, it must be true. Like when I was a born again Christian, I was like, felt like I was had this feeling in the pit of my stomach, like it was the Holy Spirit. It was like there were these real things that I was experiencing, but it was just it the lie was that I had to go to other places to feel it. They didn't say you could sit home and not give us money and feel this. They're like, no, you got to come here and give us money and then you could feel it, so yeah. Anyway,
Good point.
thank you. And the other things we wanted to talk about, and this goes right along with not taking things personally if someone's in front of you or whatever at a grocery store. And the best way I heard this too, or is if somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's like instead of thinking to yourself, oh, what a jerk this guy is, think, well, maybe he has his sick child in the car and he's trying to get them to the hospital, or maybe they just got news something bad happened and they're trying to get somewhere really quickly. And if you view it that way, same thing in a grocery store, if you have somebody in front of you that's taking a long time or whatever. You could just say, hey, maybe this person's taking somebody care of somebody that has AIDS and they're in space. No, maybe they're taking care of like a sick relative or something, whatever it is to make you get through it. And again, use comedy if it helps you. You could be like, maybe this person has AIDS and you just be like, ugh, and then you could just take a step back because you don't want to touch them because that's gross, don't you? Oh, Jesus. No, but whatever it is, you just use whatever method would help you, right? And then again, the negative employment of this would be like people who justify say they're in an abusive relationship and someone hits them, but they're like, oh no, but that it's okay, everything's perfect that they hit me. It's okay because they don't mean to and they're really good. And that's the other negative employment of this. That's the way it could be employed negatively. So since it's a function to be employed, you might as well at least use it the right way, in my opinion. There I go making claims. But yeah, same kind of thing. And another thing is like when people talk to you or say things to you, that's another thing. And this is something we just talked about recently because you were dealing with somebody that had sent you some messages and you were like, what do I say to this? Like, this is kind of insulting, but we're friends, but I don't know. I don't want to. And I was saying, and I was, that's when I brought up the whole topic of, I learned this in the book, The Four Agreements by Don Juan Miguel. And he talked about how never take anything personally, because if you were inside somebody's head, say if you can, the way you view life is like a movie. So if you can get inside somebody's head and they're sitting down and watching their movie of their life, and you sat next to them and you saw the character that was you in their movie, it wouldn't exactly be anything like you. I mean, it would be like you, it would look like you and have tendencies like you, but it wouldn't be the exact person of you who you are. You would be like, who the hell is this person? Because nobody knows exactly who you are because they can't get inside your head. So they just have this representation, this avatar, if you will, of who you really are. And that's who they're communicating with. So at the end of the day, they're really just having a communication with themselves. They're talking to themselves and they think that they're interacting with you, but they're interacting with this representation that they have, this avatar of you. And they're trying to. Like I was saying to you, they're using voices like I am now, using these noises that they can make with their face to make you see their point of view about something or whatever it is. They're trying to take their mental picture that's in their head And they're using this limited format of sounds that we can make to paint a picture for you, right? That's why art is so much better. That's why movies work so much better. Audio is good for information and stuff like that and downloading stuff. But when you're actually trying to paint a visual picture of something or an idea or a concept, and this other person doesn't maybe have the same exact way of viewing the world as you and the same imagination or whatever, it's so hard. That's why your words, and then again, if you take it even further, what do words mean to you and what do they mean to other people? You know, that's another concept. That's why I like symbols so much. And I talk about this so much because symbols are your own representation. A word is, when you see a symbol, there's certain things that it eternally always means, you know, like triangles upside and down and all this stuff. And it has to do with the way you interpret it. Right now, words are all really interpretation in the way that everything changes, the way we view society and the way so many people have different point of views and perspective on things. One word, like think of a word bad. What does bad mean? Yo, I'm bad. Like Michael Jackson bad, or like, are these apples bad and we got to throw them away, you know? So that's, again, and if you add that onto the whole thing where I was talking about before, where you're just this character in somebody's movie inside their head, and then you were using this limited way of communicating with each other by literally trying to take the picture that's in our head and describe it to somebody else through these noises that we make with our face, it could get a little dicey and complicated. So if you look at it, that's exactly what's going on. It actually becomes quite ridiculous and a little funny. And this way, when somebody's like getting frustrated and they're trying to make fun of you or whatever they're doing, you could just kind of look at it as like, this guy has no idea who I am. He's totally misrepresenting me. And why do I care? You know, if he's not causing physical harm to me, I could just let it roll off my back, because if I do, he's never going to suspect the other person who I'm having this conflict with is never going to suspect that I'm just going to let it roll off my back. So it's going to shock the hell out of them. You know, they're not going to know what to do. So it changes the whole dynamic of the situation, you know, and I found that it really diffuses the situation a lot when you could just let it roll off your back, because if something's true, you don't have to defend it. It doesn't need any defense. It just is what it is. So you just let it exist out there, you know? Sometimes you got to stand up and voice in all this stuff. You know, I'm not saying it's all about being passive, but in most situations, if you're somewhere, you know, and someone's having a disagreement with you or an argument or whatever, it's just like, if you're right, you don't got to defend it. You know, if they're asking you about it, that's one thing. But if they're just throwing ad hominem attacks and they're calling you stupid because how can you just not trust the science or whatever it is, it's like,
how dare you?
Yeah. Well, at that point, you're not trying to, at that point, you'd have to explain to them how people that would just trust experts without actually looking, you know, like it's a whole different concept that you're trying to explain to them. And you just can't do it. It's like, you got to take them. So that's why I just kind of like, yeah, it's easier. I mean, it's hard. I still find myself, you know, doing it all the time. Truth spiraling, if you will. But yeah, I think that's what I try to attain to, though. I'm just like, well, you know, this person has it totally wrong and it's freaking hilarious. And then sometimes I'll try to say something a little witty or funny or I don't know, something. But if you could just let it go and you diffuse a situation like that, it's crazy, because that's not what they're used to. You know, and then it gives you the upper hand, because then technically you are in control of the situation because you just threw them off balance. It's like the Art of War stuff, the Sun Tzu, you know, you never want to do what your quote unquote enemy or the opponent or the person on the other side, you don't want to do what they want you to do when you're in a conflict. You want to always do what they don't want you to do. It's just like in a poker game. And I talk about this all the time. You know, I might not know what they have exactly, but if I can sense they don't want me to bet, or, you know, if I can sense they do want me to make a big bet, you know, I'm like, nope, I just check. So it's, you just kind of ride that instinct. And at first it doesn't feel as, you know, cause it's so much better, right? When you can make a witty comeback and something funny and you could throw a fun insult in the moment, it's like eating junk food, you know, it's very satisfying and you feel good about it. But doing the other thing, like I said, letting it roll off your back and letting things go and kind of laughing about it and stuff, that's like eating healthy food. At first, it's not as good. Sometimes it is, but then you notice the benefits and then it just becomes better after a while and you realize what you're doing, you know. And then sometimes you can eat some junk food, you know, you're like, throw a little insult, I guess, whatever, but you know.
Yeah.
It's all perfect.
Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
But what you were saying about like everybody has a movie playing in their head about, and you are the other person, or people in their lives are just their representation or their projection of who you really are. So it's just, it's how they view you and how they see you. And that reminded me again of the movie Inception that I recently watched, because the main character's wife was in his quote unquote dreams, I guess, but it was her, it was his projection of her because she was deceased. So it wasn't like he was seeing, she wasn't part of the people who went into the dream. So she was just the projection that came from him, from his projection. And she acted the way he thought she would act and the way she, right? So everything was about that. So that reminded me of that. It was interesting. But like, I think you were saying too, like that probably is like his ego's representation of her.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I don't think I noticed this right away when I first watched the movie, but having listened to you explain that part again, it really made me think about how selfish that is of him, because that's not really her. Again, like we said, that's the avatar. That's a representation of who he thinks she is.
Right.
So of course she's not going to be annoying. You know, she's not going to be a bitch about the dishes or whatever. And these are things, no matter how perfect your relationship is, sometimes you might have a little tense or whatever, and you got to like take space or whatever. But no, he's taking all the perfect aspects of her, which is a terrible for her. Like that, even though she's already dead, that's like the worst thing you could do for that person's memory, is to just take only the positive attributes that you feel she had and live with those for eternity in a house somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, what about my stinky feet now?
Dream world, right?
Yeah, right. In this dream world. So, and then the other thing is, he was neglecting all his other duties in his real life, the people who needed him or whatever it is, in this, in his self, in his own self. You know, he's neglecting at the end of the day himself, because he's trapped in this fantasy because he can't get over the loss of this person. And that's something that I would say he would have to work, obviously, on his own attachment issues with that. You know, why does he feel he's not a whole person without this other person who's in his life and died? And again, I'm not saying it's easy. I've had friends close to me die. I've never had like a lover or a spouse die, but I can imagine it's got to be pretty fucking brutal. And but like you, like I said, you're a fucking legend. You're a goddamn legend, because you saw that stuff and you realized that your ex-husband wouldn't want you to fucking, he knows that's not what life's about, and he wouldn't want you to sit there and wallow, you know? So, husband. Yeah, exactly. What did I say? Ex? Sorry.
It's okay.
All right. That's the end of the Over Sharon show. Next week, we're going to have a different co-host. It's going to be Sharon and Adam. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry that your late husband, he would probably laugh about that if he was watching. That's the yeah, that's the best part. And that's what I mean, because he's, that's why you married him, because he's one of these people who understands life at the end of the day. It's more about enjoying yourself at the end of the day. Yeah, a lot of terrible things are going to happen, but what are you going to do? Just wallowing about him? A lot of terrible things happen to everybody, man. Like, but yeah, in that movie. So to wrap that point up about Leonardo DiCaprio's guy there, and I don't remember. I think he learns that lesson probably in the movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, that's really what's going on there at the end of the day.
Yeah, he does. In the end, he deals with the issue, and
good for him, his character anyway. Yeah. Maybe Leo learns something too.
I hope.
You never know.
I know. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel like this episode was about accepting reality for what it is. What do you think?
Yeah, as hard as that is, I think that could be one of the hardest things to do. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do this quote unquote shadow work, because when you take the big picture view, that's really what it is. You're just kind of looking at things that you previously were either lying to yourself about or accepting lies, and now you're shining a light on it and you're like, ugh, and it's not easy, right? That's why like there was that meme with it shows the Pope and then shows the guy from the Game of Thrones, and it's like exoteric studies, and then when you get the esoteric and it shows the guy all like fucked up, it looks like the other guy's like all nice and the other guy's like his hair is all fucked up and he just looks like he got smacked with a board. And that's really what it is, because you start to realize all these things your whole life that you've held as foundational truths are not true. And it really what it is, it's just an inversion that I've seen. It works the other way. So that's why it's not as frightening, because, you know, the first thing you got to do, I just wrote an article about this on my blog, More Laws, More Problems. Check it out. And it was edited by the lovely Sharon. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's a great editor. But it's about saying, you know, we're here, everything's fine. You know, yeah, everything's, you've probably learned was a lie, but it's okay. It's always been this way. Take a deep breath. Welcome to the reality. Just like Neo in the Matrix, when he threw up, when he was like, oh my God, what the hell? And he like freaked out. It's like, all right, man, have a seat. You know, it's not as glamorous as you thought, but guess what? It's still fun. You know, like you can still have a good time. And there's a new adventure now. That's all. It's just a new, if you want to choose it, or it can be in limbo, you know how in limbo, and you know how they talk about limbo or purgatory is like a concept you hear about in some different forms of Christianity. Well, what if that's what that is? Like when you wake up to something, right? You were sleeping before, but you wake up and you could get caught in this pit of despair. And that's what the purgatory is. You just spiral until you figure that out. And then you're born to this new, and you accept this new way of seeing the world, because you wake it to this new truth and you're like, oh my God, things can't be this way. And that's when you ultimately will just, like, you know, again, like I said, freak out and you just don't accept it. But then once you're done with the spiraling, it's like this birth that you have, this new, it's like the ace, like an ace of cups or wands or an ace in the tarot. It's just this new birth that you can see everything with new eyes and it's okay. But some people get stuck for lifetimes in that despair mode, that purgatory mode.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of like the heaven and hell concept too, and I think and I wanted to write a blog post about this, but I still haven't. But heaven and hell is created within you. You create your own heaven and your own hell. And like you said, this concept of purgatory is like a change within you, or something that affects change within you.
Yeah, it's really like a limbo, though. It's like this period of where you're just stuck between your former point of view and the new, you know, and accepting the new one. And it's played out in so many movies too. It's really crazy. But yeah, I think if you start to recognize that, and then when it happens, you just jump to the next one and to the next one. That's what it really becomes about, and that's where the meditation helps, I feel, also. And again, though, meditation could be another trap too. It's not a cure-all for everything. All these things are tools, just like a gun. You know, I'm not going to be like, hey guys, everyone should go out and get a gun. It's like, it's just about getting to know yourself. You know, that's really what it is. So exactly. I just want to throw that out there. We're not giving advice, everybody. We're just sharing our experiences. We're oversharing, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about looking inward. And that's what a lot of these things are about. Like tarot, which actually, now that I think about it, that is something else that has been new, interesting thing for me.
Yeah, why don't you share a little bit of that, and then we'll get the heck out of here.
Perfect. So because, like I was mentioning before, because of your podcast on the tarot, I started learning about the tarot more. And of course, Crow was talking about it on his show as well. So I just felt like it was like here. I was like hearing it, and Mark Passio talked about it. So I was like, okay, clearly I'm getting a message that I need to look into the tarot. So I saw this deck that you got, the Wildwood Tarot, and I saw that it was went on sale on Amazon. So I grabbed one, and I didn't really know what to do with it at first, but you kind of encouraged me to, like, you would just say, hey, give me a reading. And so you'd call me and you'd be like, hey, I want a reading. And I'd be like, okay. So I just
shuffled. I'm such a bad influence.
Terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible influence. That's it. Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to use that idea. All right. Anyway, continue, please.
So you got me to get comfortable with just doing simple readings just from the book, because I don't have like an in-depth knowledge of every aspect of the tarot, but just reading from the book, pulling cards and reading from the book. And I found that it was very helpful to people. Like you, every time I read for you, you were just blown away. And I started doing readings for other people at your encouragement as well. And it's like, I'm never surprised, but I am. It's like, I'm always surprised at the cards. It just, they are always speaking to someone. And like I was telling some friends and family over the weekend, was it? Yeah, over the weekend, because I did some readings for them. And some of them were a little hesitant to actually get a reading done. But when they saw like other people's readings, and they kind of saw how it was reading for them, and they're like, wow, yeah, I suppose, yeah. They became more open to the idea. And then when they got their own read, they were just like blown away. So because it was speaking, that they were hesitant because they thought it was, you know, of course, everybody says, oh, it's evil and it's bad. But all it's doing is making you look inward and identifying those things that can either help you move forward or help you look at some aspect of yourself that you could improve upon, that you could look at differently. So that has been fun for me. And the readings that you did for me were very enlightening and helpful too. So that has been something new that's been really neat and fun too.
That's awesome, man. I want to say that, well, first of all, if you'd like to get a reading from either of us, please reach out, because we will love to give you a reading. If you're listening to this, you can reach me at brandon@comedylol.com or just comment on this video wherever you see it, and we'll totally reach out back to you. And the other thing I want to say is about the tarot being evil. We talked about this before in a couple episodes, but if you're new and you're listening to this and you have some reservations about the tarot, I'm just going to share a story with you. You're an idiot. No, I get it, man, because I felt the same way. And I'm going to use this analogy. I was in the United States Marine Corps and learned a lot about weapons, and I grew up a little bit, learned about weapons and took some classes after. So not that I'm a weapons expert, but I know more than your average Joe. And I've taught a lot of people safety, and I've taken a lot of people shooting for the first time. And it's the same reaction when I talk to people about guns that have never dealt with guns. And mine was the same reaction too. I was scared of the tarot, because I didn't understand what it was about. And I will also say that it is being used currently right now as a negative, bad thing. It is being, somebody right now is giving someone a reading, and they realize, so this person has a little bit of esoteric knowledge, right? They know how thoughts and emotions are aligned to create actions, and they see this person in front of them is not doing that. And they're using their knowledge to gain on them and get a little bit of money and suck them in with this truth and make them dependent on them. That is happening right now a lot, probably more than people are healing with it. But should we just throw it away? You know what I mean? Like, so I get it. Just like a lot of people are being robbed right now with a gun and being held, you know, not as much as we were being told, of course. You know, there's probably a lot more bad things. I would say there's probably more bad things being done with the tarot than with guns, but you never know. But again, these are just tools, and when they're misused and misunderstood, they are gonna, bad things could, quote unquote, whatever bad things or negative things are gonna happen. So I think, and all the other thing, excuse me, the other thing I want to say, those grapes, whew, the other thing I want to say. Look at Sharon. She's like, how dare you? That's my way of oversharing. No, I overshared my grapes. The other thing I want to say is I actually like when people ask me about the tarot and if it's evil and stuff. I don't get annoyed. I like it because it reminds me to use it in a way that is beneficial to myself and to other people, though. You know, like, I don't just use it in a way to help me, because if I'm using it in a way to take advantage of someone else, I'm really just taking advantage of myself. If I'm hurting someone else, at the end of the day, I'm just hurting myself, you know? So I like the criticism. You know, it lets me know that I gotta keep being true, you know? So that's cool, man. And if you still aren't into the tarot, that's fine. I get it. You know, it's cool. I you know, it took me a while to kind of get into it, but now I just have a different view, obviously, about it. But yeah, and I'm glad. Also, another thing I wanted to add when you were talking, it's hilarious that I did this podcast with Ashley, the Terrible Podcast, and I do all these other podcasts, and everyone's like, do you make any money? You know, like, what? Not everybody, but some people will say, do you make any money off those? Or, you know, what do you get out of that? What can you make money? And I was thinking, I'm like, well, I didn't really directly make a lot of money, but I know now people through these, doing these podcasts that listen to them and are like fans or friends of mine now that I can like actually live with if I have to, or something. Like, I have like things I can, I don't know. It's crazy because of the work that I've done. I can't put a money value on it, but it's like basically priceless, you know, me taking the time and the intention to put it out there, getting other people's attention. Now they know I'm real. And that's another thing. We should probably bring up too about taking things personally, because if you're on the internet and you're taking things personally with people in comments, like on social media and stuff, what you might not even understand is a lot of these people aren't even real. Some of these people are actually bots or
troll bots.
And I know this sounds crazy, where there's like bot farms, and they're basically, could it be like they're paid to just cause, you know, get people to argue and stuff. And it's people like, why would they do that and stuff? And it's just about really swaying opinion. You know, this has been like, you could go look at studies and stuff about Google and just the way they try to form people's opinion and sway opinion and just sell products at the end of the day, really is what they're doing. So if you're engaging with that, you could be engaging with someone who's not even real. So that part, it's like, you got to let a lot of that go, because or in my view, I let a lot of it go because I realize these people probably aren't fake. But then again, going back to me, this is how, another reason people could tell I am real. You can go back to like 2014 and watch me like tell terrible jokes on podcasts. You know what I mean? So it's this body of work that I have. Yeah, it's great. And I don't, again, I don't even care if I get paid for it. Cause like I said, I have like, if I needed to, I could be like, Sharon, I'm going to come to your house right now. I mean, like, I got to crash. No, I don't, but you know what I mean? It's like, I've established myself as this, trustworthy person or whatever, someone on the path, and that's part of it. Yeah. Anyway, so it made me think about that when you were saying that. I was gonna bust in, but I didn't want to interrupt you. But it probably would have made more sense if I did. But anyway, but yeah, it's cool. So yeah.
Well, I was.
So I'm moving in, Sharon. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? It's like it's really been an experience. Like, I really feel like I've leveled up a lot. So if you're anyone who's listening to this, because I know a lot of people listen to podcasts, just like comedy fans, it's because they want to do it themselves. You know, some people, they just enjoy it and I get it, and they don't want to be in front of the camera. But if you are somebody who does, you know, also reach out to us, because we always like to record with different people and let us know, because it's so easy. You know, if you really take your time and attention away from other things like social media and these other things, and you put it into creating something like this, like a show, and you really want to do it and you want to do the work, it's not easy. You know, you got to edit stuff. You got to keep up with things. You got to worry about Sharon. And she's like, Brandon, you're making mistakes. No, I'm just kidding. She's great. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Those are all just jokes, but it really is not easy. We might make it look easy, but it is some of the best work you can do, because you know how people listening to this, like you get online, you like, say you come across this information, you're like, people need to know about it, or I want to tell people. So you get on and you post about it on Facebook, or you post about it on Instagram, you're like, check out this meme, you guys need to know about this. You know how that kind of feels good? Well, this is like a million times better. That's like methadone, and this is like fucking heroin, dude, because you're doing this and you're putting it out, and if people want to watch it, they watch it, and you could actually like affect people's lives with it in a positive way if you're doing it right. And again, just like the tarot and a gun, you could affect people's lives in a negative way. You could use all this fear porn and scare them into buying your products, you know, like, so anyway, guys, we got this product we wanted to share it with you. But yeah, that's all the things. But yeah, if you're somebody who is being called, or you feel like you're being called to do this, freaking do it. It's so much fun. It really is. it feels like nothing else. It's like a orgasm, if you will. You know, you get that out, you just get this expression out. Your wisdom is out in the world now. And there's a lot of things to be said about gaining knowledge and not sharing it, your wisdom that you've gained with people. That's why we overshare. Exactly. Sharon?
Speaking of oversharing, so earlier I was going to interrupt you too.
Ooh, how dare you?
And I let you keep talking. Just kidding. No, I did. I let you keep talking, but you had said something about words changing meaning and stuff like that. And I had been looking into this like maybe a year or so ago, maybe a year or two ago, about this concept of English, the English language being like a spell casting or whatever, and how the meanings of words have changed over time. And you mentioned the word bad. Well, bad used to mean an effeminate or womanish man. That's what it used to mean.
So yeah.
So sing the song.
I'm bad. Do, 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 do. Yeah, no, I was never, I'm going to say it, everybody. I was just never a Michael Jackson fan. I used to make fun of my cousin in the 80s because she was a huge Michael Jackson fan. I was just never a fan of pop music. And I get it now because I'm a true nerd. It's like I'm one of these people. I'm supposed to be against the current. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to not like anything. That's my function. Anyway, but it's great to make people dance, and I dance around and play it at weddings, and it's lovely. But yeah, no, Anyway, we don't want to trigger people with the Michael Jackson talk. So, yeah. But yeah, I think that is very important to acknowledge that words do change a lot. And when you're using them and reading them and stuff, you have to be very conscious of that if you want to be on the pursuit of truth. And that's why I prefer symbols.
Sigils, perhaps?
Sigils also, yeah. And symbols. Yeah. Symbols backwards means slobs. It says slobs miss. If you spell symbols backwards, I was looking at when we were talking earlier, and I forgot to say it. I was looking at my book that was the book of lost symbols, and I'm looking at symbols backwards, and it literally spells slobs miss. Wow. Yeah, but it's M-Y-S, but still. Okay. So the slime, you know how they refer to people like the unwashed masses, the slobs, like people who don't look into like the esoteric, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So slobs miss symbols.
Interesting.
Anyway.
A bit oversharing. Just
kidding. Yeah. We're not making claims, guys.
No claims. We don't claim. We just overshare.
That's the only claim we make, is that we're not making claims. We inception the shit out of that one.
Brandon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had to talk about that. I'm so excited about this new meme, the Let's Go Brandon thing, because, like, guys, I don't know if you know about this, but like I said, I've been onto things. Been recording since 2014. I've been making people laugh my whole life. I mean, I was in the Marine Corps. They basically begged me to stay in because I kept everybody's morale up. They're like, you can't leave. I'm like, why? I'm a good mechanic. They're like, no, you suck at being a mechanic, but they basically were telling me I was hilarious, but they didn't use those words. But they're like, you just make every situation fun. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, but I could go do that somewhere else for, you know, not have to worry about being in the Marine Corps. Like, I'm like, yeah, I get it that I can do that, guys. Like, thank you for showing me that I have that ability, but I gotta go now with that ability. I'm not gonna use it here anymore. Live long and prosper. But yeah, so I think it's great that now everyone's yelling, let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. It's about goddamn time. You know what I mean? And keep it going, guys. Remember, when they say let's go, Brandon, I've been Brandon since 1976. So
you're Brandon and I'm Sharon.
Yeah, I'm Brandon on. I think that's a really funny thing what happened, though. Apparently, there was a NASCAR driver named Brandon that won, and the whole crowd was yelling something else. They were like yelling, fuck the president, or whatever. They're saying his name. And, you know, we can end on this, even though I said we were going to end on the other thing, but that was just a joke, which is, listen, I get it that you might not like this character, this person named Joe Biden, right? We'll say person. That's a fucking great way to say it, right? And I don't know how I feel about him. I never met him. You know, all the things that he says aren't really what I agree with, you know, but again, the last person who held that position, I mean, you could think that he's your hero, or you can think he's the worst villain ever. That's usually the side people fall on. But to me, they're basically all the same. They're just there as receptacles for attention and for your hate. Like, they are there for you to hate or for you to love. So what do I do? I'm not going to do either, because I'm playing poker, right? I'm like, well, if they want me to love them or hate them, I'm just going to ignore them. And then they're like, no, you can't ignore them. He's going to come take your guns, and they're going to not let you get abortions, and they're going to like rape your kids. And it's like, no, I'm going to take my attention, because I've learned through meditation now that my attention is, you know, it's the most, I'll make a claim here. I think attention is probably one of the most valuable currencies that you can have as a human being. And when you learn to harness it, you can have awesome shows with your great friends, and you can call it oversharing. So I think that's all we need to say about that right there. So let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
Did you say attention or intention?
Attention.
Okay.
Yeah, I might have said intention, but I meant your attention. Yeah, yeah.
No, I just didn't know which one you said.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely your intentions definitely matter. But I think what I mean really is just like where you focus your attention, your time, your energy, what are you doing with that? Because it's just like they say, like in any sport, like if you're going to do a flip or whatever on a bike, you got like your body follows your head. You know, or like when I was in motorcycles, when you turn, you like look into the turn and you put your whole body after. It's the same thing with this, you know, that's where your attention, flows,
your energy flows,
your energy goes,
oh,
or whatever, where your attention goes, your energy flows. Yeah, you had it right. Yeah. Yeah. Just default that I probably have it backwards. It's my way of being funny, unintentionally. So yeah. So that's, you know, that really at the end of the day, and again, I'd like to thank everybody who's putting their attention into this show, because last week we had like up to 17 people in the live chat at one time, even though two of them were us. And one guy we know that usually watches was sleeping. So that means it would have been 18. So how awesome is that? Let's try to make it 22 this time.
I like that.
But yeah, thank you everybody for giving your attention. We really appreciate it. We understand that's why we do it. We do it so you have something better to give your attention on, and we can maybe enlighten you to some ideas, or entertain you at the end of the day, or make you laugh. That's really what I'm going for. Yeah. But Sharon wants us to talk about good stuff, so I'm stuck. But at least I get to make jokes. No. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway. Anything else you'd like to say, Sharon? Do we miss anything this time? Let's
I think we did well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Talked about a lot of stuff today.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, you could make sure that you thumbs up this video. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. You could support us. There's a bunch of different ways. If you'd like to give us money or whatever, let us know. But yeah, you can go to comedylol.com. There's a bunch of ways down there, PayPal, all kinds of stuff. I even have a Patreon through there, which we should probably resurrect. And I have a not that I'm a fan of Patreon that much, but I also have a Subscribestar, which I think is better. So we should talk about that. But yeah, so because this is the thing, we could get people to support us for like $3 a month, $5 a month. And if we could build up of that, then we could take over the world.
Wild.
If we could get, imagine if we get 100 people supporting us at $5 a month, that's like $500.
Joe Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Yeah. Imagine what we could do. This is no budget. Imagine what we would do with a budget, everybody. It would be crazy. I'd be at the poker table nonstop. No. Anyway, so yeah. Well, everybody, I think we hit everything after. You can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com for more of my lovely stuff. I just wrote a new blog article. I make memes. I wrote a book. We make videos, all kinds of stuff over there. And hopefully soon t-shirts. I don't know, maybe something like that. But anyway, we always say that, or I always say that one of these days. Anyway, Sharon, how do we end the show usually?
You better overshare.
That's right. Because if you don't overshare,
you don't care.
And if you don't care, I'm just trying to see what you... No.
I'm not a comedian. I'm not witty.
I'm not a comedian, because if you don't overshare, then you lose your hair, and then you're going to start drinking a lot of beer, and everyone's going to be like, where'd this guy go? Anyway, thank you guys for listening to Oversharing, and we'll talk to you next, or we'll see you next week.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.